Ruth chapter 1 and verse 6 is the verse really that I draw your attention to. Naomi, she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was. We are really coming now to the third scene in this story, this beautiful story. And it really is the longest scene. It runs from verse 6 down to the end of the chapter, verse 22. The third scene is a return to Bethlehem. That's the third scene, the journey back. The journey back to the house of bread. So verses 6 to the end of the chapter form a unit. She returned. So this whole unit is about this return. She arose to return, and then at the end of it, she goes into Bethlehem. She is returned. So it is one scene. So we have the return of the prodigal daughter. We've called Naomi the prodigal daughter of the Old Testament. She's been in the far country, and now she is on the path about to return to her father's house with all the terrible scars of having been in the far country. But she's returning. She went out full. She went out with a husband. She went out with sons. She returns empty, a widow, and childless. And so we have in verse 6 the commencement of the backslider's return. And I want you to notice what started this journey back. What started this journey out of Moab? After all, she might have stayed there. She was already there 10 years. I'm sure she was well settled. Moab was her home now. She had lived there a long time. She might easily have chosen to remain there. She might have wanted to be buried with the remains of her husband in the graveyard of Moab. She might have wanted to be buried with her sons in the graveyard of Moab. She also has daughters-in-law who are very kind and very good to her, Orpah and Ruth. She might have settled down in Moab with them. She might have easily been induced to stay. But she doesn't stay. She arises and she goes back. Why? The text tells us. She arose to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. She heard that. She hadn't had a visit herself from the Lord from the day she left Bethlehem. And she heard of the Lord visiting his people. And that induced her to go back. Something happened one day in Moab. Naomi started hearing. She heard in the country of Moab. Notice her return commenced with listening. Her return commenced with hearing. She heard. And that's my subject tonight, men and women. It's a very important subject, and the Bible, practically every chapter, is talking about it. I'm talking about the subject of hearing. A traveler arrived one day in Moab, some person who had lately been in Israel, and who no doubt had been in Naomi's hometown, and for some reason or other has come across Naomi, and that messenger is telling her good news. We don't know who the messenger is. She heard. But we're not told who told. Because, brothers and sisters, the messenger isn't important. It's the message. It's the message that matters. Not the messenger. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? They're just preachers by whom we believe. But it is their message that really matters.
The Apostle Paul said that we are just earthen vessels, clay vessels. And the Apostle Paul says that's all we are, little clay vessels. But there's treasure in them. And that's what we're bringing you, the message. It's the message that is the treasure. And we have this treasure, the treasure of the gospel. We have it in earthen vessels. It's the message that matters. It's not the fact that she heard someone that brought her back. That wasn't what brought her back, the fact that she heard someone. It was what she heard that brought her back. It was the message that set her back on the right path again. And so you will notice that Naomi commenced the journey simply by being a hearer. A hearer of a message. She heard that the Lord had visited his people. Men and women, the preacher doesn't see of anyone. The preacher can never cause the sinner to be awakened. The preacher will never get the backslider to return. It is only the Lord that can do that. And it is only through the message that the preacher brings. And so she heard. And do you see where she heard? She heard in the country of Moab. In the far country. The word arrived. In the far country the word was brought somehow. To Moab the messenger came. In a very real sense, a missionary one day arrived in Moab with a message. Someone had come to her with a word. Brothers and sisters, do I have to remind you that is our job as the people of God. Our obligation is to be a messenger like this. Every one of us. You are in the story tonight. This is a wonderful story. And very often you and I are going to be in this story. You're in the story tonight. Because there's someone you know in the far country. You need to be told. And there are loved ones in the far country tonight. And they're not going to be saved. And they're not going to be restored. Unless they're told. Unless they hear. They have to hear. And our obligation as Christians, first of all, is to bring a word about the Lord to the wanderers. She heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people. Into Naomi's life there came some good soul that day. Some good soul who was not ashamed to talk about the Lord. And that made the difference. Praise God, it wasn't some soul that came into the life of Naomi that day. And all he talked about was politics. And the situation in the state of the land. And how we haven't got any king in Israel, and the judges aren't really doing a good job, and we need a king. No, it wasn't somebody who was coming in talking about politics. It was someone who was coming in to talk about the Lord. And they just said, the Lord, you know, the Lord has visited his people. And that made the difference. Some good soul just talked about the Lord. And brethren and sisters, that's what we have to do. We have to talk about the Lord to sinners. We have to talk about the Lord all the time. The preacher has to preach that. You know that. I'm not here to tell you about anyone else. But you also have to talk about the Lord as well. Well, here was a soul that wasn't embarrassed to talk about the Lord. It's the first time the Lord's name is mentioned in the book of Ruth. And we don't even know the name of the person who mentioned him. But I tell you this, he was some good soul and he knew the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you have to be witnesses. And you have to be excited about the Lord. And you have to love the Lord. And you have to want to talk about the Lord all the time. You have to talk about the Lord. And the sinner, I'm not saying you have to preach. I'm not telling you that. There's no preaching here. There's no preaching here. There's nothing about faith and repentance. There's just someone here just talking about the Lord. The Lord's visited his people, you know. The Lord's doing great things in the land of Israel. They're just telling about what the Lord has done in their life.
and they're so excited, and they're so full of joy and gladness, they just love talking about the Lord, and Naomi is listening to this, and her heart's starting to be stirred up again, because she can see the excitement in this witness. And brethren and sisters, that's how revival spreads. Something happens. Something happens in a meeting, and the Lord visits his people, and souls are saved. And you know what happens? The people go out and they start talking about the Lord. That's what happened in 1859, you know. That's how it spread from time to time. People just talked about the Lord and what was happening. And it just spread like wildfire. You know, the hymn that was sung very regularly, that same hymn kind of encapsulates the atmosphere of the time. What's the news? I tell you what the news is. The Lord has done great things for me. That's the news. And that was what was happening in 1859. And that's what kind of what happening here. There's a son soul, and he's filled with joy for what God has done, and he's come into Naomi's life, and he's just told her about it. Talk about the Lord. Don't be uncomfortable talking about God. And don't be uncomfortable if some brother and sister begins to talk to you about the Lord. Don't be uncomfortable. You ought not to be. The Lord is an exciting person. He is a great God. We ought not to be ashamed of him. The witness might just have said, there's bread. There's bread in the land. But no, he had to talk about the Lord. He had to say, it's the Lord has come and he's brought bread. Talk about him. And let your children hear you talking about the Lord. As if he's just sitting there in the armchair. He's as real as that. Talk about him. Talk about him more and more. And the Lord loves his people to talk about him. And I tell you this, brethren and sisters, if you begin to talk about the Lord with a full heart, you'll begin to see Naomi's coming back. And so there was some good soul that day come into the life of Naomi. And she became a returner because she first became a hearer. She heard. That's how it always begins. It all begins with listening. Romans 10. And all of that. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except to be sent? Except they hear. Except they hear. That's where it begins. It's the same with the backslider. There is no restoration without the listening. 10 years. But now at last, she heard. That's how the backslider, you see, got into the nest that he's in the first place. He got into the mess. Naomi got into the mess by not listening. She didn't listen, or merely her husband didn't listen to the word of God. They didn't take heed to the word of God. They didn't care about God's attitude to Moab. They just went down there anyway. Backsliding begins in not listening to God. Backsliding begins in not hearing him. Backsliding begins when God says, no, you shouldn't do this. And you shut your ears and you just go on ahead and do it anyway, in your own way. That's where backsliding begins. It begins when you stop listening to God. And restoration begins when you start listening again. That's the way it is. They rejected the counsel of God's law when they went down. The scriptures clearly told them what they could expect in Moab. But they chose not to listen. That's just the backslider. That's why he is the backslider. He has turned around. He has turned his back to God. He shut his ears to God. And he's getting away from God. And he's not listening. But the thing is, God doesn't let the backslider go on. He goes after him with the word. You remember that was so in the life of Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto him. Jonah said, I don't want to hear that. I'm going to Joppa. And he went to Joppa and he went to the Mediterranean Sea. But God followed him. And we read, ultimately, the word of the Lord came unto him the second time. And this time, he didn't block his ears. He listened this time. Naomi's the same. Just like Jonah. Took 10 years. She's listening now. And so,
God gives some afflictions, and then he sends a word again. That's how God works. And if the backslider listens, he will begin to return. Revelation 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'll make a racket in your life first.
I'll disturb your peace first. I'll knock at the door first with a mighty knock of my divine providence.
If any man hear my voice there and open the door, I'll come in. So the backslider can expect the knock, the stroke of God. But there will accompany it eventually a word. To that word, that backslider better listen. There must be the hearing. How often does God say this, brethren and sisters, in his word? Here. I just happened to be reading Jeremiah chapter 7 this morning. And again, I was struck with the fact about how God talks about hearing and not hearkening, so on and so forth. Practically every chapter of the Word of God is like that. The big problem the sinner says, listening. Listening. How often? Revelation 2 and 3, it occurs some 9 times, the verb hear. He that have ears to hear, let him hear. We even read it tonight in the parable of the sower. We'll refer to that in a moment. But you remember how the Lord said, he that have ears, let him hear. Let me ask you, congregation, are you hearing? Are you really hearing? Are you listening to God and his word? You're going to have to do it, sooner or later. That is why the emphasis in the church is always on the Word. It is how God works. It is how he awakens sinners. It is how he saves sinners. It is how he gets them to return. Hearing. Listening. But of course, men and women, there must be more than just physical hearing. I want you to notice that this is more than physical hearing. She heard how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Now, physically, she hears that. You know, the air molecules move about. The words come into the ear. They form understanding in the brain. She hears. But she wasn't the only one that heard this. I'm sure that there were many others who heard this report. I'm sure that she talked about it to other people. I'm sure that that messenger mentioned it, however he met Naomi, and I'm sure she mentioned it to everybody in the house, or he did, or whatever. There were many who must have heard this report as a kind of physical words and verbal words going into the ears. But we don't read of a mass migration. There's not a mass migration. In fact, only 3 went back to Bethlehem, and only 2 completed the journey, Ruth and Naomi. Many heard, but only 2 went back. Many are called and hear the word, but few are chosen. This wonderful missionary came into the villages of Moab and said, wow, the Lord has come to Israel with great blessing. But there are only 3 people that are packing their bags. The message doesn't win everybody. With Naomi, it was different. The message gripped her. It got in on her. It won her. It persuaded her. It turned her. It did something in her heart and life. With many sermons just go in one ear and out the other. With others, the sermon goes into one ear, it moves about the brain. That's all it does. With Naomi, it went into the ear, moved about the brain, and come right down into the heart, and changed her life. That's how she heard. It changed her. It gripped her. There was something in it
that had the hand of God about it. It persuaded her. And there are some people, and they hear the word and it does nothing, but there are others, and the Holy Spirit just takes those messages and they go in by ear gate, but they get into the heart. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gets the word into the heart. It's the Holy Spirit that makes Naomi's. It's the Holy Spirit that makes Ruth's. It's men that make Moabites and Orpahs. You see, the Lord is working in Naomi. The Lord is restoring Naomi. The Lord is using the word in Naomi, the same word which everybody else hears, but the Spirit doesn't, as it were, put it in their hearts, but he puts it in Naomi's. You remember how Paul came to the Thessalonians? He said, the word was with power. Not word only, but just words. Not just phrases and grammar and sentences going out. Not powerless preaching, but the word was with power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. That's the kind of words that Naomi heard. And the most important thing for us to do as the Church of Christ is not to replace preaching with something else. The most important thing for us to do in the Church of Jesus Christ is to pray that the Holy Spirit will come down over preaching. That's what we need to pray. Your loved ones need to hear the word. And you have to bring it to them, or you have to get them under it. There is no other way. But even that is not enough. You have to pray the Holy Ghost to convict them, and the Holy Spirit to convert them. The backslider won't return until the Lord first returns to the backslider. And so the message gets into Naomi. It changes her. It makes her pack her bags. It makes her arise and go. It gets her up out of her state of ease that she has dwelled in for 10 years. Brethren and sisters, a spiritual church doesn't come through great preachers and great sermons. God can make a spiritual church with some of the worst preachers and the worst sermons in the world. You know what a spiritual church comes through? Great listening. Are you great listeners to God? Are you great hearers? Not just hearing the sound of sermons, but letting it get into you and heeding and obeying the word of God. I remind you of the parable of the four grinds. We'll not go into the parable, we'll not even turn to Luke chapter 8. But there were a couple of grinds there that received the word. The rocky ground, there's a wee bit of growth. And then there was the thorny ground as well. Oh, it shut up as well. There's a wee bit of growth there. This is hearing of the word. And some response even to it. And there were many, no doubt, in Moab who said, oh, that's nice. That's a nice message. And oh, that's wonderful that the Lord has visited his people. I like that story. That's a good story. The story is lovely. The people of Israel had bread. God has visited his people. The Lord has done something. He's done a work. But you know something? They all set on in their sin. They all set on in Moab. Oh, we believe this. This is wonderful. Christ coming. Christ visiting. Christ dying for our sins on the cross. This is wonderful. That's nice. But still the same sinners, still the same wicked ways, still the same unregenerate nature, still dwelling in Moab. Thorny ground hearers, shallow ground hearers, who are hearing the word, but they're still the same old sinners. And the word will never get deep into them. Never will.
It'll only ever be superficial. It'll only ever be surface. And they will never change. Well, are there people like that in this church? Are any of us like this? We like the sermons, but we still live in Moab. And we still dwell in the ways of the world. And we still desecrate the Sabbath. And we still despise the means of grace. Men and women, you have to hear. You have to believe. You have to repent. You have to get up and go to the house of bread. You have to arise and leave your sins. You have to return to the Lord. Naomi is the good ground here. The plough of affliction has ploughed the soul of her heart, and the stones are away. Her heart is broken ground. Nothing hard or stony in there anymore. It took 10 years, that's true, but the time is right. The plough has gone in deep. The conviction of sin has read through her soul. She is a broken and a prostrate woman. As we saw last week, the Holy Spirit calls her the woman. She's a broken woman. She's no longer a wife. She's no longer a mother. She's just a woman. A broken woman. She has no more pride. She has no more love for Moab. Her heart, like Lydia, has been opened by the Lord. And the word goes in deep. The Lord has visited his people. Now, Naomi's heart has had 10 years of disturbance, and it's now ready for the work. And brethren and sisters, we must pray that the God of glory will disturb sinners, that he will visit sinners, that he will plough their hearts. You know, the minister is not to pray that his congregation will be fat and flourishing, and that have health and strength, and they live long lives, and they have fat bank accounts. The minister's not praying that. And I don't pray any such thing for this congregation. I pray the thorns out of their hearts. The thorns that choke the word. And I pray God to visit you. And God to visit your houses. In whatever way he sees fit. That will make the word effective in your heart. That's what I pray. I pray God to knock on your doors, and to knock on your homes, and to visit your families. And how he does that is with him. But I pray that. Because when God visits you, I know this. Not shortly with that visit or after it, there'll be a word. And it'll get into you. And by that means God will speak to you. So Naomi's heart is good ground. Such ground doesn't come easy. And it only comes with divine intervention. And what is the evidence now that her heart is good ground? She receives this word with faith. The word mixes with faith, you see. That's important. She believes it. I mean, she really believes it. The Lord has visited his people and giving them bread. She believes that word. She thoroughly believes it. That's why she goes. Oh, the Lord visiting his people. That's what I want. That's what I need. That's wonderful news. I must get there. I must meet the Lord. I want this blessing on my own life. And so she has a life-changing faith that believes the word. Men and women, faith that leaves you the same is not saving faith. Faith that leaves you in Moab is not saving faith. Faith that leaves you in your sins is not saving faith. She has a faith, and it drives her out of Moab. Tell a man his house is on fire, and if he believes you, he arises and flees. And if that man doesn't arise and flee,
I don't care what you call his reception of that warning. It's certainly not faith.
And if the sinner does not arise and flee from his sins and get to the house of bread to Jesus Christ, then it is not saving faith that he has. Tell a man he has cancer and this is the mess of medicine and you must give up your foolish vices that have caused and brought on your cancer and you must take this medicine. And if that man believes you, he will do that. He will give up his vices and he will take that medicine. But if he doesn't believe you, he won't. Naomi believes this word. She arises. She packs her bags. She really believes. Makes a change in her life. She's not the same woman. Today we have decisions, you know, in the Church of Jesus Christ that leave people the same. Today we have decisions in the Church of Jesus Christ that leave people in Moab. Today we have decisions in the Church of Jesus Christ that give us orpus, that very soon go back. That's the kind of decisions we're having in the Church of Jesus Christ. They are not saving decisions. Naomi has faith, saving faith, life-changing faith. The message has come, it has eaten into her soul, and she's won by it, and she's transformed by it, and she leaves the world. And that's the kind of decisions we want to see.
There was a drawing in this as well, you know. There was an attraction about Bethlehem. 10 years she's been in Moab, but now she comes and hears about this Lord and this visitation and this bread. And there's an attraction. We have to call it drawing. There's something drawing her now. The message has won her, and somehow there's a drawing power. We can't explain it. 10 years settled, she packs her bag, she goes. There's a drawing power. The Bible talks about that. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. Aye, if I be lifted up in the preaching of the word, aye, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We need the drawing power of God, the drawing of the Father. Oh Lord, draw sinners. Draw sinners in this house to thy Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, there's a drawing now in her life. And she arose and went to Bethlehem. And the other ingredient, of course, is repentance. She's turned about now. She's leaving Moab. That's repentance. I mean, if there's faith, if there's a reception of the message, if it gets down into the heart and life, it changes the fruit of it and the evidence of it. It is faith and repentance. But now we don't have any repentance. We have faith, so-called, but stay in Moab. And live in Moab. And have all the pleasures of Moab and the world. Yes, and we'll even bring it into the church. And we'll have Moab in the church. That's the state that we're getting into, brethren and sisters. And now we have believers that don't know the difference between the world and the church. And they don't know what separation from the world is. It seemed like years ago there was no confusion about it, but I don't know what's happened. Hearing the word is so important. You need to hear, men and women. And your family need to hear. And sinners need to hear. And so attend to the proclamation of the word. Listen to the word. Obey the word. Leave your sins. Run into the embrace of Jesus Christ. And say, save me from my sins. And save me from the wickedness of this evil world. Give me the redemption that Jesus Christ has purchased on the cross. A redemption from sin. She arose and returned. For she heard about the Lord. You've heard. It's time to arise now, sinner, and flee to the Lord.